We're holding on to Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, beginning the ninth perek of the Masechta. Now that we basically got done talking about the dinim of what's a neder and what's not, and what's included in a neder and what's not, now comes the matter of Atoras Nedarim. we know that there are two basic ways of being matir a neder. There's Pesach and Charota. We've talked about this earlier in the Masechta. So Charota would be where the person regrets having ever made the neder, not because of any particular side effect of it or something, but just because he realizes that it wasn't a good idea to make this neder. And then Pesach would be where it's not that he regrets making the neder per se, but he comes to realize that there's some consequence of it which he didn't think of at the time. So we talked about earlier in the Masechta, in the third parak, we had a bit of a discussion about the ins and outs of Charota. We did discuss something over there about Pesach, about what kinds of things are and aren't a valid Pesach. One thing is, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch that what you do is you can kind of use the Charota itself as a Pesach. Using a Pesach is a stronger kind of Ataras Nedarim in the sense that you're actually finding a reason for him to regret it, as opposed to Charota, where, after all, I mean, okay, he regrets it now, but does he truly regret having made it to begin with? So therefore, Pesach is a stronger thing. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually, it mentions that what you do is you can kind of make the Charota itself into a Pesach. You tell him, the Beis Din will tell him, if you knew at the time you made this neder that eventually you would come to regret it, to have this Charota, would you have made that neder? And if not, then that itself forms a Pesach to be able to be matir the neder. So in our parak, mainly we're going to be focusing on Pesach and discussing more of the ins and outs of what is and isn't a valid Pesach. So the Mishnah starts off. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a poischin la'odim b'kvoid ovi v'ima. Rabbi Eliezer says that when a Beis Din, and keep in mind when throughout the parak, when we talk about a Beis Din, it can be a Beis Din of three head yotis, which means not just people off the street, but people who actually have the ability to learn and to understand Hilchos Nedarim. Or it can be a Yochid Mumcha, it can be one Chacham who's an expert in this, and you have a Machlokes Rishonim that we talked about earlier in the Masechta, what a Mumcha means for this purpose. Does it mean that he has to have Smicha, Ish V'Pi Ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu? In that case, we don't have any of them nowadays. Or does it mean just somebody who's a great expert in the subject matter of Nedarim? Lamaise in Shulchan Aruch, it says we don't rely on a Yochid Mumcha because we're not certain that we have one, and therefore we always use Shlosha Hedyotis. Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer says that they can use the kavod of his father and mother as a Pesach. For example, so they can tell him, the Ran says, if you had known, now like this, we've learned many times in the Masechta that a person is not supposed to make Nedarim, and in fact, we learned all the way back in the first Perek on Daf Tes that a person who makes a Neder unnecessarily is called a Rosh. So now the Ran brings an expression from Sanhedrin that it's all right to call, when you have a person who's a Rosha, the son of a tzaddik, he can be called by people a Rosha, the son of a Rosha. Meaning, even though his father was not a Rosha, the fact that he himself is such an outstanding Rosha allows us to call his father a Rosha as well. Because in a way, like his father is degraded, his parents are degraded by the way that he himself is acting. So Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to use that as a Pesach. Did you realize when you made this neder that the result of it is that people are going to be calling your parents' names because they're going to say, not only is he a Rosha, but his father is a Rosha as well. Or the Ran brings a second explanation. People are going to say, you know what, this guy is so casual with Nedarim, which is a wrong thing to do. Where did he learn that from? He must have learned that from his parents. Different other Mephoshim over here talk about slightly different angles on it. The Rosh mentions and then the Mephoresh says something similar that people are going to say on his parents, Ru'u gidulim shegidaltem. Look at Tosfos mentions it also. Look at the people are going to say to his parents, look at the kind of children that you raised who are so kind of, that your son is so casual with Nedarim. Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to use that as a Pesach. But Chachamim Oistrin, the Chachamim say it's also for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Amr Rab Tzadik, so Rab Tzadik says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, now what Rabbi Tzadik is going to say, whether he's continuing Rabbi Eliezer's shita and building on it, or whether actually he's defending what Chachamim say, that you have different mafoshim. So Rabbi Tzadik says, ad shepoischem lebichvoit ovi ve'imoi, instead of if you're going to use a Pesach with something involving the honor of his father and mother, yiftach lebichvoit amakim. Then they would be able to instead start to use as a Pesach the covenant of Hashem. After all, to make a neder unnecessarily is disrespectful to Hashem. The Ran brings it from a Sifri that when a person, the Sifri has an expression, the difference between a neder and a shvua is like swearing by the life of the king, and a neder is like swearing by the king himself, which is a disrespectful thing to do if you're doing it stand casually. If you're doing it, then you should be doing it for something important. So we know, okay, to make a neder for certain purposes, to make a neder for a korban is a valid thing. To make a neder in a time of trouble, like Yaakov Avinu did, is a valid thing, but not the kind of casual nedarim that we've been talking about a lot throughout the Masechta, where, for example, a person is angry at somebody else and he says, you're mudr anah from me, or I'm mudr anah from you. Those kinds of nedarim, we're saying the Chachamim, not only the Chachamim disapprove of, but we're saying shows disrespect for Hashem, that you're treating Hashem too casually. So therefore, so you could use kvod amakim instead. So the way we have it printed in the Mishnah has im kein ein nedarim. In that case, then there are no nedarim. Now, without that, so that amounts to saying that is the end of what Rav Tzadik is saying, which means, the Mefarish printed under Rashi's name has that girsa, and he says that in that case, it's not that Rav Tzadik is not defending Rav Eliezer's position. On the contrary, he's defending the Chachamim's position. The fact is that based on Rabbi Eliezer, if we take Rabbi Eliezer's logic to its conclusion, we would say the same way as you could use the covenant of his parents, the same way you would be able to use the covenant of Hashem. But if you do that, then there's not going to be any nedarim, as the Gemara is going to explain. Abaya and Rava are going to have different understandings what that means exactly. Abaya is going to say that it means that there's not going to be a proper hataras nedarim in the sense that who's going to have the chutzpah to say that I don't care about the honor of Hashem. Therefore, he's going to say that I do regret making the neder on those grounds, when really he doesn't regret it. And Rava is going to give a different explanation, that it means that people are going to think they don't need hataras nedarim at all. Anyway, so it comes out, according to that girsa, according to that explanation, that Rav Tzadik is actually agreeing with the Chachamim. He's saying, I can show that the Chachamim's opinion is the more correct one, because if you went according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, then you would be able to do not just kvod ovi ve'imoy, but even kvod amakim. But in that case, then that would have these effects on hataras nedarim that we don't want, that Abaya and Rava mentioned. So therefore, he's saying, so based on that, then we can't accept Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and allow him to use kvod ovi ve'imoy either. According to the Ran, on the other hand, and according to the Ran and the Rosh, they have the words omru loy in the Mishnah, that according to that, Rabbi Tzadik is saying, you know what, I'm taking Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and I'm saying that Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to use not only kvod ovi ve'imoy, I say he would even allow you to use kvod hamakom. That we tell him, did you realize when you made the neder that it's disrespectful to Hashem? And then omru loy, then according to that, Chachamim answered Rabbi Tzadik and said, If that were the case, then there'd be no nedarim, meaning that you can't even, meaning even Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with us, wouldn't go as far as you're saying. Why not? Because it's one thing. A person might, you tell him, did you realize that this impacts the honor of your parents? He might say, you know what, I don't care, I made the neder anyway. But your average yid wouldn't have the chutzpah to say if you tell him it impacts the honor of Hashem, to say I don't care. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer has reason to distinguish between kvod ovi ve'imoy and kvod amakim, and say that kvod ovi ve'imoy is a valid basis for a pesach, for a neder, but kvod shamayim, but kvod amakim is not, because then you can assume nobody is actually going to go in front of the Beis Din or in front of the Shlosha Adyotis or whatever and say, I don't care about Hashem's honor. Therefore, the result is that he's going to be saying, I do regret the neder and I want to be matir neder it, even though in fact he doesn't regret it at all. And that would not be a proper hataras nedarim. Okay, so again, in short, then, according to the Mefarish's explanation, we have two opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, with Rabbi Tzadik defending the Chachamim's opinion and showing how if you used Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, it would lead to something impossible. And according to the Ran, you have three opinions over here. You have Rabbi Eliezer, you have Rabbi Tzadik, who goes further than Rabbi Eliezer, and you have the Chachamim, who disagree with both of them. Okay, the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. Modim Chachamim, the Rabbi Eliezer, the Davish Beiner, the Bein of Ve'imai. Now, the Chachamim do agree when it's something directly between him and his parents. For example, let's say he made a neder that his parents should be also to have anah from him. Then, sure, we can make the Pesach for the neder by saying by mentioning the kavod of his parents. Tell him, did you realize that one day your parents are going to need you? So that even the Chachamim would allow, because it's one thing. In other words, when we see, so like this, we see already that he was chutzpahdik enough to make a neder against them in the first place. Then therefore, now we don't figure that he's going to. So now we don't figure that he's going to lie and say that after all, I am concerned about their kavod, and therefore I want to be matur neder. If now he's coming to Beis Din, then in fact, or they bring him to Beis Din, whatever, then we can assume that he actually sincerely means to be matur the neder. Otherwise, he'd just continue with the same chutzpah as before. Couple of things in this. One is that the Rishonim bring from the Yerushalmi that would only apply while his parents are alive. Once his parents passed away, then a person feels that he needs to have a greater covered for his parents after they passed away. So then there's the possibility that he may falsely say that he's doing it for their covered when really he's not. Also, the Ran brings over here something from the Yerushalmi that when it comes to his Rebbe, then for sure, even Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree. You can't use the covered of his Rebbe. In other words, that you can't use as a Pesach to say, did you realize that people are going to think badly of your Rebbe, that he taught a Talmud like you? Because Mora Rabbah, Mora Shemayim, as we say in Pirkei Avos, the fear of your Rebbe should be like a fear of Hashem. And therefore, so the same way as Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you can't use Kvod Shemayim, Kvod Amokim, the same way you can't use the covered of his Rebbe. Continues the Mishnah. Va'oid Omer Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer furthermore said another din in another kula in the halachas of Nedarim. The Ran, by the way, points out the Rans for this part of the Mishnah are printed on Omer Beis, but anyway, there are other places where the Gemara is bothered by why a Tana begins what he's going to say with va'oid and furthermore. You have to have usually certain criteria where he's continuing from what he said before. He wasn't interrupted by another Tana in between. Here he was, because you have the Chachamim interrupting in between. But the fact is, the Ran says that here it is, in fact, he's saying a further kula. When you have a va'oid that constitutes another chumrah, then you have rules about when the Tana might say va'oid and when not. But here, where he's saying a further kula in the halachas of Nedarim, then in fact we can use va'oid even though the Tanakama interrupted him in between. Anyway, va'oid Amar Rabbi Eliezer poiskin benoilad. Another din Rabbi Eliezer says is you're allowed to use as a Pesach Noilad, something new that developed that didn't exist before when he made the net. V'cham oistrin, and again, the Chachamim say that is also. Ketzad, what do we mean by that? What are examples? Oma koinam shani nena le'ish ploini. Suppose a person says a neder, a koinam that I won't have hana from ploini. V'nasa sofer. That person now becomes a sofer, where sofer could mean any of a few different things. It could mean the actual sofer who writes documents for the people of the city, where therefore now you need him, just like everybody else needs him. that's how the Rambam explains it. the Ran explains that the word sofer also often means a Talmid Chacham. So therefore it can mean, in other words, that now he's a Talmid Chacham and now you need him. Or another example that the person you said, I don't want to have Hana from, is marrying off his son, and now you want to be able to attend the wedding. But Omar, and you say to yourself, if I had known that this guy is going to become a sofer, or Tamad Chacham, however you define sofer, or that he's going to soon be marrying off his son, then I wouldn't have made the neder. So now Rabbi Eliezer allows you to use that as a Pesach to be matter the neder, and the Chachamim disagree.
What reason?
The reason why the Chacham disagree is basically because we're saying it's not that he's regretting the neder. He's regretting, he's saying there are these circumstances, but he's saying that it's not that I regret the neder. I just, these new circumstances came up, but he didn't know of them at all at the time of the neder. They weren't something reasonable to assume. So now you actually have like this. You have a machlokas rishonim. Is there a difference between a noila that's common and one that's not? Now, most of them we showed him over here, including the Ran and the others, draw a distinction based on the Gemara later on between something that's motzri and something that's not motzri. It is common enough. In the long run, for example, sure, the guy's going to be marrying off his son, but the Mishnah used the expression that if I knew that he was going to be marrying off soon, b'karev, so that's not necessarily a davar ha-motzri that should be so soon after the neder that he's going to be doing that. So therefore, so we have to say then he couldn't have had that in mind at the time of his neder because it's something unexpected, and therefore that's not a valid basis for Ataras Nedarim, as opposed to if it's something that can be reasonably expected, then in fact that would be a valid Pesach, even according to the Chachamim. One example of it actually we had a couple of weeks back the story of Rabbi Akiva and Kalba Savua. In Ksubas, we also had the story with a little more detail over there, where we said that Kalba Savua had made a neder that his daughter wouldn't have hanah from him and threw her out of the house. And now later on, when Rabbi Akiva came back with his 24,000 Talmidim, then Rabbi Akiva was matir neder for him. So Tosfos there in Ksubas discusses that on the face of it, this is an example of noilad, because before Rabbi Akiva was an Amoretz and now he became a Talmid Chacham. On the other hand, Tosfos says that's not a problem because it was an expected kind of thing. It can be reasonably expected when a person goes away to the Beis Medrash, as Rachel was telling Rabbi Akiva that he should do, that he's going to develop he may not become Rabbi Akiva, but he'll develop some ability to learn Torah, and therefore in Kalba Savua had made the neder only on the grounds that Rabbi Akiva was complete Amma Oretz. So in other words, therefore, so that would be a nolad that's motzui, that's common enough, that can be reasonably enough expected, and the Chachamim will agree that you can use that. They're only arguing when it's a nolad that's completely not motzui, it's completely uncommon, then they would say that's not a valid basis for being matur the neder, because the fact is, it's not something that you could have reasonably foreseen at the time. On the other hand, the Rambam has the shitta, and it seems that the Meforish and Amud Beis also learns this way, that it's not a difference of motzuri or any motzuri, it's a matter, the Rambam phrases it, that after all, let's consider in the case of On Mishnah, where the guy becomes a sofer, you would actually rather, you would say to yourself, you know what, if I had my way about it, the guy wouldn't be a sofer and I'd still be also to have anah from him. I don't want that he should, yes, he became a sofer, now it means I need him, but I would have rather that he didn't become a sofer in the first place and that I still should be also to have anah from him. So therefore, in other words, not a difference in motzuri or any motzuri, it's a matter of, are you actually regretting making the neder or not? For that reason, in fact, the Rambam says, if in fact the person really does regret the neder on that basis, then that is a valid Pesach, even according to the Chachamim. If he says, you know what, now that the guy became a sofer, I realize that he is, after all, a good guy, and I shouldn't have made a neder against him in the first place, then that would be a valid basis for being matur neder. And the Rambam would explain the story with Rabbi Akiva in the same vein, that Kabbal Savor wouldn't have made the neder if he knew what Rabbi Akiva is capable of becoming. In fact, also, on Omid Beis, the Meforish talks about the idea when we're going to talk about further this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. There's the possibility that can mean that when in fact the person finds out that when he made the neder, the circumstances had already changed. We're going to have on Omid Beis, we're going to talk about Moshe and Dosan and Aviram. So in the case of Kalba Savua and Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam might learn that by the time Kalba Savua made the neder, Rabbi Akiva had already gone to start the process of learning. So therefore, so in that case, then it was kind of a neder that was based on a mistaken premise in the first place, and therefore it's not nola. Therefore, you can be matur it. Therefore, you can be matur based on it.
Basically, the Chachamim agree that you could do when it's matzi.
So that's the thing. According to many Rishonim, the Chachamim hold you can do it when it's Matsuri. According to the Rambam, it's not really a difference in Matsuri or any Matsuri. It's a matter of do you actually regret making the Neder or not. One thing is, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Nazir that eventually even Rabbi Eliezer gave in and agreed you can't use Nola because the Gemara says that the Chachamim overwhelmed Rabbi Eliezer with proofs to the contrary, and he ended up agreeing with them. But that will have in Masech the Nazir in a couple of months, Bez Hashem. So continues the Mishnah. Similarly, so a person says, if I knew that this guy is going to become a sofer, or that he's going to be marrying off his son soon, and I want to be able to attend the wedding, lo yo yisi noder, I wouldn't have made the neder. Or, for example, the person says, kona l'bayis zeshani nichnas, he makes a kona, I won't enter this building, v'nasa beis haknesses, and then afterwards that building becomes a shul. Omer, either way, you see a deer show nasa basic nesses lo yisi noder. If I knew it was going to become a shul, I wouldn't have made the neder. In all those cases, Rabbi Eliezer matter. Rabbi Eliezer considers that a valid pesach for chum osrin, and the chum say it's osir. So now again, according to the Ran and many Rishonim, the vote is because those are not so matzu that a particular house should become a shul. For example, is not that matzu. Therefore, it's not a valid pesach. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer doesn't make that distinction. Only by Chabad, he's saying, yeah. But yeah, okay. And according to the Rambam, the vote would be because you don't actually regret making the neder to begin with. You're just saying, you know what? Yes, because now the place the shul, I'd like to go into it, but I would have rather that it stayed a regular house and that my neder should still be able to take to stay in effect, as opposed to when he says, you know what? Now I truly regret making the neder to begin with. So in fact, the Rosh teaches it out a little bit. He says that the reason when you have charata, when you regret the neder, then the neder is uprooted from the beginning, because then you wouldn't have made the neder to begin with. When it's something that the Rosh is another one who mentioned this point of enei matsui, when it's not matsui, when it's not something common, then it's not a neder that was a mistake to begin with, because he wouldn't have avoided making the neder because of some unlikely thing that would happen. So therefore, he doesn't have something where he's regretting the neder from the beginning. So that leads us sort of to what the Rambam says, that if Itaka truly regrets it from the beginning, then that would be a valid basis for being matter the neder. So the Gemara says, now we said in Reb Tzadik's statement, or in what the Chachamim answered Reb Tzadik, we said that using Kvod HaMakom, that using the Kavod of Hashem as a basis for being Matur Neder, wouldn't work, because we said Im Kein Ein Nedarim, if so, then there are no, if you would say that, then there are no Nedarim. So what does that mean? My Ein Nedarim. Amar Abaye, Im Kein Ein Nedarim Nitorin Yofer. It means that then Hatoras Nedarim is not going to work properly. Because again, what's going to happen? The person is going to come in front of the Beis Din or in front of the Yochid Mumcha, whatever. They're going to ask him, did you realize when you made this neder that it impinges on the honor of Hashem? Because making the neder unnecessarily, that you said, is like swearing by the king, which is a disrespectful thing to do. What yid is going to have the chutzpah to say, no, I don't care, I would have made the neder anyway? He's going to say, you know what? You're right, I wouldn't have made the neder. Well, then it's going to come out. He's going to be saying that he regrets the neder when really he doesn't. So therefore, he's going to lie and say that he regrets the neder when really he doesn't. So therefore, it comes out that Ba'ataras Nedarim doesn't work properly. In fact, the Ran says, again, following his understanding before, that Reb Tzadik is taking Reb Eliezer's logic further and having his own opinion that says that you could use Kvod HaMakom, and we said the Chachamim disagree. Reb Eliezer would agree with the Chachamim on that, because he would say it's one thing of V'imai, that a person might well be able to have the break type to say in Beis Din, I don't care about the cover of my father and my mother. Yes, they might call me a Rosha, the son of a Rosha, which means that they're putting down my parents. I don't care. I would have made the neder anyway, as opposed to a person wouldn't do that with the cover of Hashem. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, there's no distinction, and therefore he would say you could use either one. The Chachamim would say there's no distinction. Either one, a person wouldn't have the break type to say that in Beis Din, therefore you can't use either one. Rabbi Eliezer would say, to say, I don't care about the covet of my parents, that a person might do. Therefore, if he says, I'm concerned about the covet of my parents, people are starting to call me Rosha Ben Rosha, and that puts them down, or people are starting to tell them, whatever, then yes, I regret the neder on that basis. And then we can say that he means that sincerely, because a person could equally well say, you know what, I don't care. As opposed to with the covet of Hashem, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that nobody's going to say, I don't care. So therefore, he might falsely say that I care about it and I want to be Matir Neder, when really he doesn't. So that would explain why Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, exactly that. If Beis Din tells him, did you realize that this neder impinges on your parents' honor, then he might say either way. He might say yes, he might say no. As opposed to if you tell him, did you realize it impinges on the honor of Hashem, for sure he's going to say, and therefore, do you realize that this impinges on the honor of Hashem, and therefore you should be Matir Neder? He will say, okay, even though he really doesn't want to be Matir Neder. And therefore it comes out, says Abaya, it means that a Torah Sedorim is not working properly. You need him to really regret making the neder, and now he doesn't really regret it. He's just claiming that he does in order not to look bad in front of Beis Din. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds there's no distinction. Neither one is a person going to have the chutzpah to say that in front of Beis Din, and therefore, if he does say it, then it means that. So rather, Rabbi Eliezer says that no. Rabbi Eliezer says there is a difference. That's the point. The Chachamim say there's no difference. Either one, he's not going to say falsely in front. Either one, he might say falsely in front of Beis Din. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says that there is a difference. His parents, we can assume he's telling the truth. With Hashem, we assume he might be lying. That's a biased explanation. The Rava Amar Im Kain Ein Nedarim Nishalim L'Chacham. Rava has a different explanation. What Reb Tzadik means, or what the Chachamim mean when they reply to Reb Tzadik, is that then Nedarim won't be, nobody will go to be Matir Neder by a Chacham. Because what's going to happen? A person is going to think to himself, you know what? If I go to Beis Din, what are they going to ask me? Did you consider the covenant of Hashem? Well, then in that case, what do I need the Beis Din for? I might as well be Matir the Neder myself. It's true, I wouldn't have done it if I thought of the covenant of Hashem that's involved. So therefore, I'll be Matir Neder, and that's that. He's not going to realize that you can't do that. You have to have a Beis Din be Matir Neder, be Matir the Neder for you. The Ran also points out in this connection that there are minor kinds of Nedarim that there wouldn't be a zilzal to his parents in them. So in other words, when would we say that people are going to be putting down his parents and calling him Rosha ben Rosha, or saying to his parents, would only be with certain kinds of major Nedarim. But there are going to be small Nedarim. A person might say, for example, that I'm not going to drink wine today, let's say, and then it'll say, you know, we learned in the previous parak, it expires by Tzeisa Kechavim, or expires 24 hours from now, whatever. Those are the kinds of minor Nedarim that we're talking about, that people are not going to be Mezalzel and his parents because of that. So now, Kvod over the Imei wouldn't work. So now, Rabbi Eliezer would say, then says the Ran, that when you have, so since some kinds of Nedarim, it's not going to work anyway, because they're too minor for it to even impinge on Kvod of Ima in the first place, then when it applies, you can apply it, and you can say that, then you can use it as a Pesach. Whereas the Chachamim say that, according to Rava's explanation, that the fact is, once you have this kind of thing, people are going to think that they can use it as a basis for being Matir all their Nedarim, and nobody's going to be bothered going to a Chacham anymore, because they're going to think I have an automatic Pesach. The Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see whether it fits better with Abaya's or Rava's explanation. The Mishnah said, Umurdim Chachamim L'Rabbi Eliezer, V'davar Shebeinu L'Bein Ovar B'Imai. The Chum agree when you have a neder that actually affects the relationship between him and his parents. For example, we said he made a neder that his parents won't have hana from him. Then we said, for sure, even the Chachamim will agree that you can use the covered of his parents as a Pesach, and you can tell him, did you realize that one day you're going to need to support them? So Bishleim Abaya Damim Kain Ein Nedarim Mitarim. So according to Abaya, who says that it means that that in the Mishnah we said normally you can't use covered over the imai because then hataras nedarim won't work properly, because again then the person may falsely say that he cares about covered over the imai when really he doesn't. So you would say the difference is here. The Chachamim would say that's not a problem. Given to Ichtziflei, Ha'ichtziflei. After all, here he already showed a degree of chutzpah by saying that he's gonna make his parents also b'hanah to him, to have hanah from him. So now, when he comes to Beis Din to be Matir Neder, we can assume that when he says that, when they ask him about, do you realize that one day you're gonna have to support them? Then he says yes. Then he means it sincerely, and he really means to be Matir the Neder. Ella the Rabba, but according to Rabba, Damim Kain and Nadarim Nishalim Machacham, who says that the reason he can't use the covet of his parents is because then nobody's going to bother going to a Rab to be Matur Neder. Well, Hochamai Poskin. Well, then why in this case should we be allowed to use it as a basis for Ataras Nadarim? After all, you have the same problem. Everybody's going to say to themselves, I make a neder to make my parents also banal to me. I'm going to realize that eventually they're going to become old and I need to, and therefore I'll be matur neder myself. So according to Rava, why should there be a distinction between the two cases? And the answer is Amri. They end. The Chachamim answered, kibben de kol nidre le sagi lahoin de lav chacham, because with other nedarim that don't involve his parents, you can't do it without a chacham, because again, given that the Chachamim are not allowing Kvod HaMokim as a valid basis, they're only allowing, in this one limited case, Kvod Aviv Imay, and that would apply only to Nedarim that actually affect the relationship between him and his parents. So therefore, so in those cases, he knows he's going to have to go to a Beis Din. Hochanami Poskin, so the same way over here also, they could use it as a Pesach. We're not concerned that in the future he's going to think that he can be matur neder on his own, because he knows that with all other kinds of nedarim he needs to go to a rav, and therefore he's going to realize that in this case he also needs to go to a rav. So therefore, Rava can still understand the Mishnah that way, that the Chachamim would make the distinction between a neder that doesn't directly involve his parents and not using the covet of his parents to be matur neder, versus one which directly affects them. We're there. That's the only, according to the Chum, that's the only kind of neder where the covet of his parents can be used, and therefore that's not going to lead him to be careless with other nedarim and think that he can be matur them on his own.
Well, I'm seeing this many times. We say since he's going to be matur here, he's going to think he can use it somewhere else.
No, because he's going to realize that obviously, since the only case where he can use the covet of his parents is where the neder actually affects his parents directly, then therefore that's not going to lead him to think that he can use that same excuse for other ones, because he'll know because he knows by other nedarim, whenever he's gone to Beis Din for other nedarim, the Chachamim have not used that reason. They've used different reasons, because again, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, you're not allowed to do that. The Ran points out another angle on this as well, again, going back to Abaye and Rava, that Abaye is saying ein nedarim mutarim yafa. So therefore, because of that, Rabbi Eliezer will agree about kavod hamakom, and he'll say you can still use kvod aviv v'imo, because again, Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned so much about that reason. Meanwhile, Rava says that when it comes to kavod hamakom, sure, you have to be concerned about ein nedarim mutarim yafa. So because of that, everybody would agree, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, that you can't use that kvod aviv v'imo. It's not that the Chachamim are concerned about ein nedarim mutarim yafa, because after all, we see, says Rava, later on in the perek, we're going to discuss that, for example, even though they can't use kvod hamakom, they can use an individual mitzvah. Later on, we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that Beis Din can tell them, for example, did you realize when you made the neder that you're making somebody else also to have anah from you, so therefore you're being over on various mitzvahs, bein adam l'chaver, you're being over on taking revenge, you're being over on lo sisna, and even the Chachamim agree that that's a valid basis for being matur and neder. Because it's one thing, a person wouldn't have the chutzpah to say, I don't care about the covet of Hashem altogether, but a person might well have the chutzpah to say, you're telling me that I'm over on this mitzvah? Okay, so I'm over on this mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that everybody is careful with anyway. So now if he's saying, you know what, you're right, I shouldn't have done that, I do regret it, we can assume that it's a sincere regret. So now Rava takes that logic, says the Ran, and applies that to here also. It's one thing to use kavod hamakom in general. Sure, Rabbi Eliezer will agree you can't do that because nobody would have the chutzpah to say otherwise. But when the same way as you can use an individual mitzvah as a basis for ataras nedarim, the same way you should be able to use kavod aviv v'imo. So why do the Chachamim disagree? Because they're saying, because then the person is going to think that he can use that pesach for other nedarim as well and think that he doesn't have to go to Beis Din. But when you have, so again, now the Gemara answers, since using that kind of Pesach of Kvod Aviv V'Imo is limited only to a neder that directly involves his parents, then now he won't come to generalize from it to other things. Okay. The Mishnah had said, V'Oid Omer Rabbi Eliezer Poskin Menolad Chula, that Rabbi Eliezer said another din, that you can begin being matur neder based on Nolad. Again, we said a new circumstance that happened that didn't exist at the time of the neder. And the Chum disagreed. So the Gemara says, my time at the Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer, where does Rabbi Eliezer get from that you can use Nolad? The Omer of Chista, the Omer Krah, because the Pasuk says, now you have like this. Moshe, we know, had sworn to Yisrael that he wouldn't leave Midian without his permission. In fact, earlier in the Masechet, in the first parak, we had a line over there, Nodar B'Moihi, where a person makes a neder using Moihi, and we said one meaning of Moihi is it's a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu, and it means that he made a neder that should have the same force as Moshe's Shvur to not leave Midian without Yisrael's permission. But Pashtus Yisrael made him take that Shvur because he was concerned for Moshe's safety. If Moshe goes back to Mitzrayim, he's a wanted man, after all. He almost got himself killed over there. So whatever the case. So now, when Hashem is ready to send Moshe to, when Moshe is ready to be sent, whatever, to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so Hashem tells him, go to Midian, and then Rashi mentions on the Pasuk over there, it means go to Yisrael, to be matur neder. But now, the Gemara is pointing out, the Pasuk continues, ki mesu kol ha'noshim, because all the men who were looking to kill you are now dead. Well, Rabbi Eliezer says, v'hamisa denoladu, well, Rav Chista says, v'hamisa denoladu, death is after all nolad. Yes, in the long term, everybody dies. But again, we're talking about in the short term, that davka, when he needs it, they should conveniently be dead. That is nolad. That's not something you could necessarily expect. Or according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter, expect or not. The fact is they weren't dead at the time when he made the neder. Mikan chaposchen menolad. So therefore, that shows that you can use nolad as a basis for Ataras Nidorim. So in other words, Hashem is telling Moshe, I'm giving you a Pesach that you can use to be matu your neder, namely, that you were concerned about these people who are after you, well, you should know now they're dead and therefore it's not a problem. So that would be Rabbi Eliezer's basis for his opinion. V'rabban on my time, Mayu. Meanwhile, why do the Chachamim hold differently? How do they explain the pasuk? Kasabri is the answer is because they say, Hanu mi maisi. After all, were those people really dead? Any place in Psukim where it mentions people who were nitzim, who were fighting, or where it says nitzavim, where they were standing firmly, ain and ella dosin raviram, then that refers specifically to dosin raviram. So we have nitzim, is you really only have one time, is in Parshas Shmos, when Moshe sees two people fighting, and then one of them is about to hit the other. And nitzavim is you have two places where it mentions people nitzavim. One of them is in at the end of that same parasha where it says that Moshe and Aaron left the palace after they'd gone the first time to Paray. And Paray says, not only I don't want to listen to you, but I'm going to make the work of the Jewish people harder. They don't get swore anymore. So now it says that they met up with people nitzavim. And those were Dasan and Aviram. And Dasan and Aviram told them off for it and said, Yera Hashem Aleichem v'yishpot, etc. So then you have another time in Parshas Korach when it says V'dosan v'aviram yotzu nitzavim. So they would actually mention the names Dosan and Aviram that they came out standing in front of their tents and they were cursing out Moshe and everything right before they were swallowed up in the ground. So when we have the people who are standing up against Moshe and Aaron who are described as nitzim or nitzavim, then it means Dosan and Aviram. Well, now, what happened? How was Moshe in danger in the first place? Is because Dosan and Aviram, after they were fighting, they say, Misam Chalish Sav Shevet Aleinu, and they massed on him to Paroi, and therefore that's why he was arrested and almost killed, and was saved by Derech Nes. So now Hashem is informing him that Dosan and Aviram are Mesu. But again, they're not Mesu, they're still alive later on at the time of the Machlokas of Korach. So obviously they weren't dead. And in fact, so now you have an interesting there. So Ella Amar Shlok is Sheyodim Nechseim. Rather, when Hashem says they're dead, means they lost their wealth. Which actually, so now you have the Mefarish says an interesting thing over here. Means Hashem is telling him, even at the time that you made the Shvua to Yisrael that you wouldn't leave Midian without his permission, by that time already, Dustin and Aviram had lost their wealth. Meaning, in other words, again, according to most of the Mephoshim over here, it doesn't matter when it was. As long as it happens sometime before Hashem tells it to Moshe, then we're fine, because that's the kind of Nolad Motzi. It's common enough, and many of the Mephoshim point that out explicitly, it's common enough that people lose their wealth. So therefore, that's a Nolad Motzi, and therefore that's fine. According to the Mephoshim and according to the Rambam, who don't distinguish between Nolad Motzi and She'ene Motzi, we have to say that Hashem is telling Moshe, you should know at the time you made that neder to Yisrael, already they were poor, and already then, if you had known about it, you wouldn't have made the neder in the first place. Because the whole Because the whole reason was you were saying you wouldn't go back to Mitzrayim because you were afraid for your life. Well, if you had known at the time that Dos and Avirim are already poor, then you wouldn't have bothered making the neder because you would have said it's safe to go back. Dos and Avirim have no, nobody's going to listen to them in Paray's court anymore anyhow. So that's the difference. Are we saying that they became poor now, or are we saying that back when you made the neder, a year or two back, they were already poor? Well, Yisrael made him swear and he accepted it. So that's the same thing. Same thing for our purposes. That's the same thing. So they lost their wealth. And in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Levi, Kol Adam Shein LeBonim Choshev Kemes. When a person doesn't have children, he's considered like dead. Shenema Hovali Bonim. As we find that Rachel says to Yaakov, "Give me children." Beim Ayin Mesa Anoshi. And if not, then I'm dead. So implying, in other words, if I don't have children, then I'm as good as dead. Which Marusha explains. In other words, the point is, now you might have explained it on the Arm of Foshim on the Pasuk, who say that it means I'm going to die of grief. But in that case, why the Lashon Mesa Anoichi? The Lashon should be almost, I will die. Mesa Anoichi implies I'm already dead right now. So therefore, that implies that a person who's childless is in a way like a person who's dead. One reason is, by the way, with this and with the next few things we're going to mention in the Gemara, one idea is because a person who's in any of these four conditions is not able to have a proper impact on the world. One of the ways in which a person has an impact on the world is through their children, or if they don't have biological children of their own, they have talmidim, and talmidim are considered like children, but if not, then they're as good as dead because they haven't really affected the world around them. And the same thing with the other ones. So Vitanya, and we learn in a Braisa.
It's interesting what you're saying.
What?
It's interesting what you're saying because it's a woman who said that, not a man. You don't see Avraham, Yitzhak, or Yaakov saying that at any time, even though they didn't
Avraham
have children.
Avraham says that he's saying to Hashem, I'm going childless, and the only one who's going to inherit me is Damascus Eliezer. Well, but maybe actually that's the point, because again, we're saying it doesn't necessarily have to be biological children. It can be Talmidim, it can be people that you influenced. Well, Avraham had Eliezer and all his other people that he and Sarah brought Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. So therefore, maybe for him, it's not, he doesn't feel that Mesa Neichi because of it, because at least he has that, whereas Rachel was thinking she doesn't even have that. She doesn't even have anybody that she was mashpia on. But yeah. Okay. Vitanya, and we learn in a braisa, our bar chashuv and kemes. There are actually four people who are considered like they're dead. Oni, a poor person, or mitzora, a person who has saras, the summa, a blind person, or misha in lebanim, and a person who has no children. Now, what's the nafkamina to know that these four people are considered like dead? Tosfos explains that the nafkamina is these are people you should be davening for extra rachmanos from Hashem for, because they're considered like dead. Therefore, they need extra rachmanos from Hashem to be able to overcome that disability, that Hashem should give them children, that Hashem should make them be able to see again, etc. And where do we see that? Each one, you have a posit. A poor person, we just said about Dasa and Aviram, that Hashem describes them as dead, even though they weren't actually dead, they just lost their wealth. By the way, we had this Gemara actually earlier in the Masechta as well. The Ran over there and the Rosh over here explains, so how do we know that Dasa and Aviram didn't have one of the other things? How do we know they weren't Mitzoroyim or blind or childless? How do we know Dafka they lost their wealth? So the explanation is because we have to consider, Hashem is telling Moshe, nobody's going to listen to them in Paray's court anymore if they come to Maser against you again. Because so why? If it was that they had no children. So the Ran points out that wouldn't prevent Paray from listening to them. Paray wouldn't say I'm not going to listen to you because you're childless. One has nothing to do with the other. The Rosh over here mentions another point as well. Later on, by the story of Korach, it says that Dasa and Abiram came out with their children. Okay. Tap them the shame of Nahum. Then they're standing by the entrance of their tent. So we see they had children. And okay, you could say obviously they didn't have children then, but they have children now. But it's fine; it's not that long. It's not that long between Moshe going to Paray and the story of Korach is only about 2 years or so. So it's not necessarily like the
Moshe running away from.
No, not Moshe running away. We're talking about now when Moshe is returning to. Now we're talking about when Moshe is going to return to Mitzrayim to warn Paray and start the 10 Makos. From there until Yetzias Mitzrayim is a year. From then until the machlokas of Korach is a year and a half or so, 2 years maybe, whatever. Yeah. So we're not talking about that long. As far as the possibility that they were mitzoroyim or blind, so we see that they weren't mitzoroyim because they were in the machna, they weren't at the edge of it. And you're going to say they were healed by Matan Torah, but it also says that after the Chet Egel, everybody got back their handicaps that they had before. So even though everybody was healed by Matan Torah, but whoever was blind before Matan Torah was healed by Matan Torah, but then by the Chet Ha'egel, they lost their sight again, and the same thing with the other ones. So if we see that they were living in the camp, it means they weren't Mitzrayim.
So this happened before, after Matan Torah?
Yeah, the story of Korach happened after Matan Torah. Yeah. Long after, because it's already after Aaron had been appointed Kohen Gadol, and after Elitzof and Ben Uziel had been appointed Nasi of the Levium, and then which is what made Korach jealous. Yeah, so it was sometime after Matan Torah. So they can't have been Mitzrayim. They can't have been blind either, because when Moshe asks them to come to him, Uri and Parshas Korach, they answer him very chutzpah to ka'eni anoshim ahim to nakir. Even if you gouge out our eyes, we're still not coming to you. So therefore, obviously, their eyes were functioning. Otherwise, there's no reason for them to mention it. So again, even if they were going to say they were blind before Matan Torah, they would have gotten their blindness back after the Chet Ha'egel. So therefore, by elimination, the only thing that they could have, the only one of these four that they could have had a problem with is that they lost their nechassim. And then because of that, so now when money talks, and so now if they have no more money, then now Paro isn't going to pay attention to them. So continues the Gemara. Mitzoda d'chtiv al notzihi kames. We find when Miriam had saras that Aaron asks Moshe to daven for her, and he says, "Please let her not be like a dead person." Meaning, if she remains with saras, then she's considered dead. V'suma d'chtiv machshakim eshivani kimeisi olam. A blind person is considered dead because you have the pasuk in Eicha that says Hashem placed me in darkness like the people who are dead forever. And Maharshal explains, you can't say it means darkness as in just they have no lamp or something, because that wouldn't be kinesi olam. That wouldn't be described as like the people who are dead forever. That's more a term that's appropriate when a person is blind, where the pashtus, they're going to remain blind for the rest of their life. The childless, we said from Rachel. So therefore, say all those four are considered kames, which again, like Tosfos says, means that it means you should be davening extra for rachmanus for such people. So the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Eliezer, you're thinking that when Hashem says kimesu, means they actually died, and you're going to say that's nolad, and you're using that as a basis for your opinion about nolad. No, it means they became poor, and the Ran brings over here a line from the Yerushalmi. It's common enough that rich people become poor. It's also common enough that people have charata on their nedarim, and therefore that's not considered nolad either. When a person says, I regret my neder, that's not considered nolad, because it's common enough that a person makes a neder in the heat of the moment and then regrets it. So again, according to the Ran and most of the Mefoshim over here, the difference is whether it's Matsui or Ene Matsui. According to the Rambam, rather, it's a difference of is it something that you regret the neder to begin with, or something where you don't regret the neder. You say, I would have rathered that the neder should still be in effect, and this person didn't become a sofa, or this house didn't become a shul, or whatever. So anyway, as I said, the Gemara in Nazir tells us that eventually the Chachamim overwhelmed Rabbi Eliezer with proofs and got him to change his mind. This may have been one of the proofs where they pointed out to him that Kames, that the Mesu Kalan Noshim means they became poor. So that and other proofs that eventually caused the Rabbi Eliezer to change his mind, which is why in Nazir, there's a mission over there that mentions a case involving Nolad where Rabbi Eliezer doesn't disagree. And the Chachamim say, because by the time that Mishnah was composed, Rabbi Eliezer had already changed his mind. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and talk about more dinim, about Ataras Nedarim, where the beginning of it is going to be related to this matter of Moshe's Shvur to Yisrael, where we're saying that Moshe was required to get Yisrael's permission before he could be Matur Neder. So that's going to lead us into the discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
And he wasn't able to Matur Neder himself because he can't be Matur Neder himself because
where do we learn the concept of Ataras Nedarim from? So the Gemara brings a number of different ways. The Gemara actually mentions, in the Mishnah mentions in Chagiga, Heter Nedarim Pochen Ba'aver. The concept of Heter Nedarim is like flying in the air. There's very little in Torah Shebichsav that represents it. But the Gemara brings various things. One of them is, since the pasuk says, Lo Yachel Dvarei, he cannot desecrate his word. That means, but other people can desecrate it for him by pointing out that they can be Matur Neder. But a person cannot be Matur his own Neder, with the exception, we had certain ones earlier. We had, for example, at the end of the previous perek, that he can say, Ki'ilu iskabalti, I'm willing to consider as though I received what I demanded from you or whatever. So you have rare cases like that. But in general, a person can't be Matur his own Neder. So Moshe couldn't be Matur his own Neder. Hashem would have to be Matur it for him. But as we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara, because he made that neder or shvuah, whatever, only because Yisrael told him to. Therefore, he could only be matu neder only if Yisrael gave him permission, and that is why Hashem tells him first to go to Midian. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
To go to Yisrael
and ask him to do that. Yeah, so what were you going to say?
Well, that was my question. Where do we get it from that you can matir a neder? It's not straightforward, but
it's
could you repeat the source?
So the Gemara actually, the Gemara in Chagiga brings a half dozen different ways, a half dozen different psukim, from which we have a remez to the concept of atara sedarim. You have that one, lo yachal dvaray. Another one, for example, the Gemara mentions is, we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, we have the line, Hashem shbati ba'af. That Hashem said, I swore in my anger, that the Dor HaMidbar won't come into my resting place, implying that Hashem says, Ba'api nishbaiti, I made that shvur in my anger, but now I regret it, and now therefore I'm being matur neder, so to speak. You actually have a Gemara in Bava Basra, where the Gemara says that one time Rav Bava Chana was traveling near Har Sinai, and he hears a bastol that says that oily shinishbaiti, that says, woe that I made a shvua, and now I made this shvua, who can be matter it for me? And he didn't say anything. Later on, the Chachamim criticized him. They said, don't you realize that was the Hashem was talking about the shvua to send the yidden into Golus. You being a Chacham, you could have been matter Hashem's neder. But Rabbi Bava Chana answers them. He says that I thought that Hashem was talking about the shvua not to bring the marble, and I didn't want to be matter that. But we see, so we see from that also the concept that we see also from that, from the Sashen Rishbat Abapi. And again, the Gemara brings several other Mudim in Chagiga over there, where we have a remez for the concept of Atarnas and Darim. So the actual, again, the actual halacha of it is really like the Mishnah says, Purchin Ba'aver. It's kind of flying in the air. It's almost exclusively Torah Shabal Peh, and next to nothing about it in Torah Shabachsav. But there are still, the Gemara brings various remozim for it in the Psukim.
When are we going to see it?
So we already learned it in Chagiga less than a year ago. The Gemara brought over there when he learned there with that Mishnah, Hetzin Adonim, Perchim Aver. So the Gemara went on over there and then brought a number of these proofs. Here in our Gemara, we're not really focusing on that so much. We're more focusing, once we know that there is a concept of Atarus Adonim, then what are the mechanics of it? And that's the subject of our parent.
Right. How can we rely on the fact that Hashem was... says he was angry when he made this neder. I mean, Hashem is Hashem. Whether he's angry or not, he knows the consequences of everything.
That's fine, but nevertheless, Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adim. In other words, Hashem is expressing himself the way that a person would when new circumstances turn up. You know, one thing, actually, Mephoshim talk about, I think Marsha talks about someplace, I don't remember who talks about this, but there was the idea, given that we know Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, everything is in Hashem's hands, except for whether a person fears Hashem, then so to speak, when a person does tshuva, that is sort of like, that is almost like an unexpected thing. It's like something that was not in mind when the neder was made, so to speak. It was like, so to speak, Hashem didn't have in mind the possibility, because that's something that the person did on his own. So therefore, so now that becomes, so now we can say that Hashem, so to speak, regrets and says that I wouldn't have made this shvua, the shvua that I made would apply to a person who was doing such and such. But now that this person is doing differently, now that they've done tshuva, they're not really the same person anymore. And therefore the neder is not really in effect anymore. But that is, I think the Rashba talks about this, I don't remember, but that is sort of a basis for using that idea of Hashem Shbati Ba'api as a basis for our Hataras Nedarim, is that again, that we're saying that, so to speak, there can be something about a Shavua of Hashem, where, so to speak, something unexpected, something not in Hashem's plans happens, namely that the person does tshuva, which is beyond the whole Seder Ishtalshus.
But even if it's not beyond the set of his tachlis, it's not beyond Hashem's cheshbon, because Hashem's cheshbon is...
There you get into the question of Yediyah versus Bechira, the famous question, if Hashem knows everything that's going to happen, then how do we have Bechira Chofshis? Where we know the Rambam grapples with it, the Raiva and everybody else deals with it. But in a certain sense, we say, and this is brought in many places in the Chassidus, that in a certain sense, it is like that. You have the Eibishter created the world with a certain pattern and a certain way that things should happen. And then when a person does tshuva, they're overriding that whole normal Seder. We find, for example, here, we have in Tanya these days, we're talking about the idea that you have things from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis that are completely off limits. Nonetheless, you still have, you know, you have a person in a person eats something from Sholosh Klipas Atmeis, it becomes Dama Bosa Kipsori, it becomes part of his own flesh and blood, and then he does Truva Me'ava. So normally we would say that Sholosh Klipas Atmeis drag a person down, and there's no way to elevate them to Kedusha, but now the person does Truva Me'ava, Zdonis Nasim like a Zochias, that now they become like mitzvahs, and now he's able to elevate them. So what do you have? In other words, Hashem programmed into the world that these things are off limits, and there's no way to be Milo them, and now the person goes and does something unexpected and is able to be Milo them after all. So you have, again, even though, of course, Hashem put that into the world as a possibility also, because the Eibishter is the one who created the concept of Truva, but in a way, it's like it's bypassing the whole normal way that Hashem created for the world to run. So therefore, metaphorically, we can describe that as Hashem, so to speak, regretting that he made that neder, that he made that shvur in the first place, because now the person about whom that shvur was made are now different people. They've now transformed themselves into something else entirely, and therefore, therefore the neder no longer applies. And therefore, we have a basis for our Torah and Darim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.